Good morning. You may expect an English accent, but I'm actually American, so I just go to school there. Well, first I want to start by thanking the session organizers and Tanya Clark and Alberto Caban Martinez for inviting us and letting us do our research here. We really appreciate it. And I have no relationships to disclose. Well, not ones I can talk about here. Anyway. So today I'm going to talk about our NIOSHC-funded grant to examine the relationship between employment status, occupation type, and risky behavior among U.S. youths. I'm going to talk a little bit about why this study is important. I'll talk about our methods and results and what this all means. A little background to start you off. We looked at young workers, and that's less than 24 years old. They're a large and relatively understudied population in the U.S., young workers face increased risks of injury, illness, and death compared to all other workers. And as their working hours increase, youth workers are more likely to engage in risky personal behaviors, participate less in extracurricular activities, have trouble in school, and sometimes participate in illegal activities. At the same time, work can provide youths with a range of tangible and intangible benefits. Here are a few facts to get you started. Studies suggest that up to 17% of U.S. adolescents have used cocaine or street drugs at least once during their lifetime. Some working youths are more vulnerable to risky behaviors, and I think I'll show you that in a few moments. And employment experiences in young adulthood often forecast later occupational attainment patterns. Therefore, understanding the factors associated with job type and risky behavior is of major public health importance. There are two survey databases that we used in our study, NHIS and NHANES. Some of you may have heard them or used them. The National Health Interview Survey is a cross-sectional household interview survey, and that's been collecting data since 1956. And NHANES, the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, is a program of studies designed to assess health and nutritional status of adults and children in the U.S., and the survey is unique in that it combines interviews with physical examinations, so it provides really unique information. So in using these two databases, after adjusting for sample weights and design effects, we studied the costs, the morbidity, disability, risk behaviors, and mortality of work for youths, and explored health disparities by occupation and industry, as well as by race and ethnic subpopulations. Oh, I haven't gone past, sorry. Some of the methods we used, our respondents were between 18 and 24 years old. They were grouped into 13 major occupational categories. I'll show you some of those in a moment. The data was self-reported, and we stratified that by gender, race, and ethnicity. A little bit about health risks. Health risks describe behaviors and health indicators with potentially negative health effects, such as substance abuse, risky drinking, and eating disorders. Studies have shown that young adults who engage in a range of risky behaviors have a likelihood of increased future adverse health outcomes. Documenting major health indicators during a life stage when adult behavior patterns are beginning to form could be critical in preventing potential negative outcomes in the future. Given the growing evidence that youths who work may experience greater likelihood of negative health risks, understanding the relationship between employment and major health indicators is really needed. Some of you know this, some of you don't. It was new for me. The top three risk behaviors related to premature mortality in the U.S. are tobacco, unhealthy alcohol consumption, and poor diet and physical inactivity. We found an elevated prevalence of these three leading contributors in several of the young adult worker categories that we looked at. We examined the relationship between occupation types and these five major health behaviors using a nationally representative sample of young adults. The select health indicators and behaviors we analyzed among employed and unemployed young adults were cigarette smoking, risky drinking, the lack of participation in leisure time physical activity, fruit consumption, and that's less than 2 servings per day, and French fry consumption, and that's greater than 3 servings per week. Then we stratified that by occupation, gender, and obesity. Obesity was a body mass index of greater than or equal to 30. So some of our results. This is just looking at employed versus unemployed. Overall, employed youths engaged in slightly greater risk behaviors versus unemployed youths, 26.5 to 23.5, basically. Unemployed youths engaged in greater drinking, less leisure time physical activity, and they reported, self-reported, greater obesity levels. Employee youths had higher rates of smoking, French fry consumption, and lower rates of fruit consumption. Now I'm going to look at the prevalence of health behaviors by race, and this is employed youth workers. Hispanic young workers had lower levels of physical activity engagement and the lowest level of fruit consumption. White young employees had the highest number of current smokers and risky drinkers overall, while the category of other had the highest rate for French fry consumption, but you can see that all of them had a lot of French fries, so regardless. I also like French fries. We also looked at the level of risky health behaviors by occupation. Occupations exhibiting the highest risky behaviors were young workers employed as motor vehicle operators, those as machine operators, and health service workers. Those employed in mail and message distribution, health assessment and treatment, and health technicians were the least likely to engage in health risk behaviors. Now, I'm going to look at it by health behaviors by occupation. Young workers employed in transportation and material moving occupations reported greater risky drinking, while those in protective service occupations reported the least risky drinking. Keep your eye on protective services. You'll see them come up three times. So, smoking rates were the highest among precision production craft and repair workers, but lowest among professional specialty workers. Young adults employed as machine operators, assemblers, and inspectors reported the highest level of non-engagement in leisure time physical activity compared with protective service occupation. There you have it again. And those reported the lowest. Young adult workers employed in transportation and material moving occupations were more likely to fail to meet the U.S. dietary guidelines for fruit consumption versus those employed as technicians and related support occupations, while Hispanic and Black protective services had the highest consumption of French fries. And we also studied mortality risk by employment. And employment as a young worker was associated with significantly lower risk of all-cause homicide and other-cause mortality when compared to the unemployed youths. Although, as you can see, motor vehicle is fairly even right across the board for both employed and unemployed. Now, talking about drugs, we also examined the prevalence of drug use in the U.S. youths. And when broken down by category, the overall lifetime prevalence of cocaine or street drug use was the highest among males, non-Hispanic whites, those with high school diploma or a GED, unmarried with an income less than $20,000, and that's a household income. They were employed and were blue collar. Now, among employed young adults, those in construction trade and those in the health service occupations had the highest proportion of workers reporting a high lifetime prevalence of cocaine or street drug use. And this one was interesting to me. Employed young adults were significantly more likely to report a lifetime use of cocaine or street drugs, adjusted odds ratio of 1.32. Now, we did have some limitations. Since this was a cross-sectional design with potential selection effects, we were unable to make a causal inference between employment, occupation, and risky behaviors. In the study, employment and occupation were based on employment in the one-week period prior to the study, the survey that we used. And the data was self-reported and may be subject to recall bias. And finally, it was not possible to control for occupational factors such as the number of hours worked, part-time versus full-time, permanent versus temporary or contract workers, union versus non-union workers, as these indicators were not collected as part of the national surveys that we used. In conclusion, this is what this means. Our study shows that the prevalence of risky behaviors varies by occupation, gender, and race. Therefore, it is important to develop targeted programs. Given that 65% of youths aged 18 to 24 are, in fact, in the workplace, work sites might be a really important place for surveillance and health programs. Developing job-specific and employee-sponsored programs are both critical and logical for implementing tailored health promotion activities, initiatives, and interventions. And I would like to thank the authors of our paper, specifically Alberto Caban Martinez. I believe he's still here. If you are interested in more on this youth and occupation, please visit our website. It's www.umiamiorg.com. There is actually a really great presentation, narrated presentation on that gives you even more results than we have here today. Thank you very much.